What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, February 26th, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the engaged one, a.k.a. New York Times quoted at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host, Greg.
Hello.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to be here with you, Timothy. How are you? How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. It was a Pokemon Go big event yesterday.
Ah, yes.
Sinnoh Tour.
Oh, Cinnabons were in effect.
So many Cinnabons, Greg. So me and Goldfarb were out in these streets walking. I think we clocked 15 miles.
God damn.
Yeah, and it was a sunny day yesterday.
Yeah, it was. I'm surprised you're not burned.
I am burned.
But not like Tim burned.
Yeah, exactly. I had to reapply many times. And it's very awkward to reapply sunscreen in the ferry building bathroom because it's a high traffic area.
Yeah.
But you got to do what you got to do. You know what I mean?
And just I caught all the Cinnabons. Are you not spraying? You doing like the real? Oh,
you think a spray can stop this? No. Yeah. So it was an overall very successful
week. A lot of goers out there. Were there a lot of goers on the street?
So many. Yeah. It's getting to the point now that we're starting to recognize people.
That's cool. Yeah, I like that.
This weekend, so it was a 2-day thing. On Saturday, I didn't do the whole ferry building Embarcadero route. I went to Stonestown, the mall. And it's crazy how many people are just playing there whenever there's an event.
Yeah.
But I saw a family where there was 4 generations of people playing in one family.
Okay.
It was incredible.
That's insane.
Like from a 5-year-old all the way up to 80-year-old.
They were wheeling the hospital bed.
With
the IV drip.
No,
grandma just wanted to get out one more time and get a Cinnabon.
She was spry, man. Yeah, she was there. She was doing the spin catch. Sure, it was awesome to see. But yeah, no, that was
we haven't talked about it. Ben's quite good at throwing it. He's been doing that at the restaurants lately where I'll pop it out and he knows to go to the Ultra Ball. Like, I try to give him any of the 9,000 regular Pokeballs. He goes and gets the Ultra Ball and throws it.
Yeah. She's not good at it. Every once in a while, I need her to do it for me.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Mm-mm.
How are you?
Tim, I'm great. Are you kidding me? We are T minus what? I'm bad at math. 7 hours from us being at Monday Night Raw. Very exciting. You, me, Snowbike Mike, Cool Greg, piling in Jen's car that I borrowed, going on down there. That's great. Going to have a fun time there. And then, of course, we're about a week with review codes less than a week from me starting WWE 2K24. And I can't wait because there's nothing like starting a new WWE game. You know what I mean? Getting into a new wrestling game, seeing it all mod. What do they do? What's the UI look like? What's everything? And you know, it's like some would say, is there still excitement in me being the world's best WWE 2K player?
World's best. Okay.
World's best WWE. Mm-hmm. You don't think so?
I mean, I don't. But
okay. I mean, obviously the best at Kind of Funny, bar none.
Okay,
that's obviously the best in the video industry, video game industry press, bar none. Sorry, Mitchell. I would go further, of course, that if you were going to go to WWE.com/superstars, where of course, ladies and gentlemen, I am listed as a WWE superstar. Thanks to This Is Awesome new episode, WrestleMania's best most awesome moments, Volume 2, coming out before Mania, you would find me on that page. And so I would say, bar none, I'm probably the best WWE 2K player in the WWE based on WWE.com/superstars. You can go through there and scroll through. Who's going to be better than me? Ron Breaker?
Probably like a list of people, but...
Ladies and gentlemen...
New day. Yes, it is!
Oh!
What?
You said what?
The best?
The best?
The best?
What?
I said that in WWE 2K24, I am arguably, probably, the best player on WWE.com/superstars.
Gregory, you are not even almost the best. You're quite possibly the worst.
Okay.
If there's a full totem pole, you're most likely underneath it with the maggots and roly-polies.
You are the bottom.
The fungus, because you are a fun guy.
You're a fun guy.
That's right. You.
The best you definitely are not.
Well,
you're the best.
I mean, I agree to disagree. You know, I wish there was a way.
Hold on, the camera. Get a good look.
Well, sadly, we are still a week removed from the game coming out, so there's no way to prove it.
Unlike you, we actually worked there, like for real.
Yeah, for real.
And that means that we brought the game with us.
That's right.
You have WWE 2K24 in this building.
Yeah. Yeah, we got it. Come on.
Well, again, see, like, I have multiple hats. I have multiple hats where I'm not just the star of the number one show on Peacock. This is awesome. I'm also a video game journalist. All right. And so obviously we live and die by embargoes. There's probably we wouldn't be able to play it and show it because of an embargo. So don't worry about that.
Well, that's the great thing. We can go play this game and show that you are not the best. And the embargo lifts on Monday.
Oh, we done came prepared.
Oh. And we're putting it on our channel.
We're going to put it on
Kind of Funny your channel.
Kind of Funny. So your everybody, channel. So all of you can see Greg get his cheeks beat.
Ooh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Now.
You gonna beat your cheeks, bro.
Now.
You gonna beat your cheeks. Greg.
Beat your cheeks. I don't like how that sounds. Yeah. I don't like them between me, right? I don't like being in the middle of the cheeks.
I like how it sounds.
I'm in the middle of the cheeks right now. And I don't. Well, I don't know if you, as you can see, I have to host Kind of Funny Games Daily with Tim. So right there, I wish I could do this. You have to get ready for a street fight. I wish we could do it right now. I wish we could.
That's hilarious. Because you know, we always got the squad coming in. We got Blessing.
Blessing.
Blessing, you trying to host?
Right here.
Blessing's going to host.
Let Blessing host.
So you don't have to do this.
Fine, then. I'll do it. I'll prove it.
Don't turn your back to Kofi Kingston.
I'll prove. I'm more afraid of the doll. Prove it, all right? I'll prove it that I'm the best on WWE.com. I'll take you on in any match you want.
Any match? Wow. Yeah, Blessing, he said any match.
Tim,
he said any match.
Any match.
You know what? I'm thinking a one-on-one.
Wow.
Sucker.
Upstanding.
The commish. Austin Creed, Xavier Woods against Greg Miller.
Host of This is Awesome. Number one show on Peacock. Subscribe now.
In a special guest referee match. And who could be the special guest referee?
Who?
Kofi!
Oh my God! Who'd have thought? You don't say! I would have worn my stripes and not my checkers had I known that I was going to be a special guest referee. But this is going to have to do. Wow!
Any match
we want.
That's
what you said.
You said it.
That's what you said.
That's
what
you said. You signed it verbally. Blessing. Yep. Have a great time.
That's what you said, bro.
You look better doing this than Greg anyway.
Yeah,
thank you. I appreciate it. I hear that a lot.
Wow. That's what I just want to see.
Let's go ahead. Have a seat.
Let's get a shot. Get a shot and picture with all of us for the family cam. There we go.
Hey. Look at us.
Bye, Greg.
That's right. You see, we was on the way to the Halloween store. We heard you talking that trash.
So we had to make a stop.
Beat your cheeks.
Yes, we gonna beat your cheeks.
Uh-huh. I like beat your cheeks.
Beat your cheeks.
Yeah, it's a catchphrase. I like that. Let's make that
good.
Thing.
It's real good. Bless, how are you?
I'm doing good. I mean, my morning just changed. So I was like, you know, I was at my desk having a good time, and then I got called over by Xavier Woods. So now I'm here. Now I'm hosting Games Daily.
You'll love to see it, man.
But Tim, let's host Games Daily. Enough about all that. Let's talk about today's stories, which include Switch 2 likely hitting March next year, Supermassive layoffs, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. And then for a chance to be a part of the show, submit your thoughts and opinions as YouTube Super Chats as we go. Housekeeping for you, in case you missed it, new episode of Game Showdown is up right now, where we debut a new game where the crew has to draw characters based on their name. That is up over on YouTube.com/KindofFunnyGames.
Absolute blast of an episode.
Such a great
time. So much fun.
I'll go as far as to say, I think this is my favorite episode yet.
Yeah.
Game Showdown with each episode like continues to hone what it is and continues, I think, just to get better and better.
I totally agree. And also, it's now on podcast services. And thanks to all your support, it's the number one video game podcast in the world, baby.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Greg sent me the picture last night.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you all for that. Thank you all for your support.
Incredible. And then speaking of video game podcasts, the new Kind of Funny Games cast went up this morning, and is Tim and Imran interviewing the director of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Hamaguchi really cool. himself. Honestly, I haven't been this nervous for a piece of content in many, many years. Bless. I was stressing hardcore about getting this interview done. So much so that I didn't even think, once it was over last week, like once it was, we recorded it, it was done, I was like, I did it. It's over. I felt so good. It was a weight has been lifted. But then I didn't think about this morning waking up and seeing all the tweets and seeing all the comments and how positive everybody is
That's
about
awesome.
The interview. And I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. So thank all of you for your support. You can definitely check it out. Imran did such a great job too. But the thing that I think makes me the happiest about this was how happy Hamaguchi-san was to just be able to talk about this thing that he's been working on for so many years now that we now know is amazing because we've been able to review it and play it. But I want to give a shout out to the interpreter here who did such a good job translating our questions that were asked the way I asked questions into Japanese about all of these different games in a way that everybody understood. And she was just on it, man. It was like very, very impressive. And I love seeing all the comments. I shout her out because it was like there was a lot of people that were like, I speak English and Japanese. I've never seen an interpreter translate this well.
That's
incredible. I'm like, that's kind of cool. So anyways, shout out to all of that.
Awesome. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames to check that out. And on the Gamescast.
No spoilers, by the way. No spoilers in that.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Streaking Ain't Easy, and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Avatar Braving the Elements and Game Showdown, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
A Baker's Dozen.
Avatar Braving the Elements. Which Avatar?
It's... Oh man,
it's the good one.
It's our Avatar.
It's our Avatar.
Okay,
not the blue people Avatar.
I wanted to use that as a segue, actually, to talk about what I did this weekend.
Yeah,
I went to an Avatar orchestra, an Avatar: The Last Airbender, I guess, symphony, and it's the second symphony I've ever been to after the Sonic the Hedgehog one. Earlier in the was that this month or was that last month?
That was last month.
Holy cow, time flies.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, such a magical time.
Yeah.
Like
my friend Danny was there.
And I saw Jan from Giant Bomb post a picture there too. And I was like, "You were there?"
I wasn't there.
What up?
I wasn't there.
Why weren't you there?
I don't know. I never got an invite. Bless.
Wrong avatar.
I mixed it up. I thought you were a blue person avatar. Oh, that's my bad, Barry. That's my bad. No, but it was like it was an incredible thing. You know, it's a funny thing of like going into it. Even as I was sitting in the crowd before the show started, I looked over at friends. And I was like, "Yeah, I don't really recall that much of the music from Avatar, right? Like, it was one of those things where, you know, the theme song for sure. And then, like, aside from that, like, I'm here for the moments or whatever. And the way that halfway through that concert, I was like, oh, like, the music is banging.
I just didn't know.
Yeah, like, it's always been there. And, like, there's a song I think it's called, like, In the Stars. Or it's, like, Through the Stars. It's, like, one of the ones where they're flying and, like, the moon is big and behind them, whatever. But it's, like, one of those songs that I've heard on TikTok and I've heard in other places that I didn't realize was from Avatar.
That's fun.
And then like once I put two and two together, I was like, oh, this is magical. Like this right here, like people were tearing up. It was fucking
fantastic. Hey, I love that you guys are doing more of these orchestra stuff, man. Like it's cool. Yeah.
And somebody in chat mentions the Agni Kai song is great. Agni Kai song was hype in that orchestra, let me tell you. Because they also have the screen and the clips playing as they're playing the music. And yeah.
Did they do the Dragon Dance song, which is essentially just the end credit song? I've been rewatching Avatar and actually just finished it last night and getting to that episode and them use like you hear that end song at the end of every episode and then when they contextualize it into the show it's so fucking hype.
Jonathan Santos in chat says Secret Tunnel was the encore.
Yes.
And when I tell you the way that they brought it all together, like they turned it into like this big orchestral thing and they kind of used it as like the final montage of all of like the great moments of Avatar.
Did they have someone singing live?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. And like the audience was singing along to Secret Tunnel too. So like everybody just singing together, like they had the lights on the audience to like kind of signal like, oh, we're a part of this too. Damn. And they're showing a montage of all the characters and like their big moments and all this stuff. And it was so fucking amazing.
Tim, to give you context, Secret Tunnel is an episode where they run into a nomad who's just like kind of like a stoner dude who's just like making up songs, and the song that he had kind of made up and like half forgot about like just became like this huge meme in the Avatar community.
Yeah,
that's great. I love that. Lean in.
Only thing about Secret Tunnel is that it was stuck in my head for the rest of the day.
Oh yeah,
especially when you have like a whole audience singing along to it, and for like a full 3 minutes you come out of that theater and there's nothing else in your mind except for Secret Tunnel. But it was such a good time.
Hell yeah, man.
Speaking of good times, will it be a good time when the Switch 2 releases? In March 2025, this is story number one. Nintendo Switch 2 reportedly has been delayed to March 2025. This is Wesley Yinpool at IGN. Nintendo Switch 2 won't launch until March 2025 at the earliest, according to a new report. Japanese publication Nikkei reported the March 2025 release window with much of the same information leaked so far, that Nintendo's next console is a Switch successor with similar hybrid functionality but a bigger screen. The Nikkei report does, however, suggest one of the reasons Nintendo has set a March 2025 release window is to ensure it can manufacture enough launch stock to satisfy demand and therefore combat scalpers. When the Switch launched in March 2017, it was almost impossible to get a hold of, sparking a vibrant scalping market. It stands to reason Nintendo would want to avoid repeating the situation. Indeed, Nikkei reports March 2025 is the earliest possible date Nintendo's next generation console will launch, suggesting it may not make Nintendo's next fiscal year. Given the pressure Nintendo is under to release the successor to the near 7-year-old Switch, a post-March 2025 launch would come as a huge surprise. We're stuck at that March month.
Looking like March, and it adds up, right? All the reports that we're hearing have been, in the last couple of weeks, specifically really, really honing in on that March date. There's enough reasons now from enough different sources that you're like, yeah, it's probably that. And look, can't be upset about it. I think that that sounds right. All the things we have been talking about in terms of big games, I do think still stand, and that's very exciting. Whatever the Switch 2's launch is going to be, I think it's going to absolutely bang. Like, I think that we can expect it to be very, very, very high quality with a probable Game of the Year contender alongside it, at least one.
Yeah.
Right? And that's exciting. It does then create a space this year, though, that I'm very concerned about the rest of this year in terms of...
Well, we got Princess Peach Showtime.
Next month.
I mean, we got... The Paper Mario Thousand Year Door remake.
Yeah, exactly. Probably June or right?
Like a 10% chance we get Metroid Prime 4.
That's the thing. I think Metroid Prime 4
is... We got
a
Pokemon Presents tomorrow.
We do. We'll probably get some holiday Ernie Pokemon
Cooper
game.
Cooper points out in the chat, Endless Ocean.
Exactly,
The end thing from the Nintendo Direct last week.
But I think that's where we're at. And that's not bad. Switch has had such an amazing life. But I'm not even just talking Nintendo. I'm talking kind of overall in the industry, like... It feels silly to say this right now because of how many amazing games are coming out right now.
Yeah.
Because it's wild how January and February have just delivered the goods.
Yep.
And even late December. I feel like December is usually December in general is more of a dead zone.
Yeah.
But like, we got God of War Valhalla. I was just thinking about that last night. I'm like, wow, man.
We got an Avatar game. Like a AAA Avatar game.
Yes, exactly. There's so much going on and it's exciting. At some point, though, I do think that that's going to kind of fall off a cliff. And whatever, we need a reset point, sure, but I think it's going to be a lot drier than people expect.
I think, yes. Like, I agree with you in that, with the exception of, like, I think if we get to the fall and somehow, like, a miracle happens and it is Metroid Prime in a new Pokemon game, I think for Nintendo, it's like, oh, dude, that's a great fall
that's
right
insane.
There. Yeah. Personally, I'm like, I think there's a chance. I don't think it's a sure chance that we see a Metroid Prime. I think for sure we see a Pokemon, but the question is, what kind of Pokemon is it? Because I don't, and I think me and you might be split on this, I don't expect like a new Pokemon generation this
fall. Oh, no, definitely.
Okay,
not.
Yeah.
No.
So I would expect like some kind of throwback or remake, and then it gets to the question of, what kind of remake? Because now we're in a place where there's multiple different ways Nintendo could do it. It could be Legends. It could be Let's Go. It could be what we got with Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl in terms of like a cute kind of thing.
Yeah. So, you were talking about this. I wasn't on the speculation episode last week.
Yeah.
And by the way, we will be live reacting to the Pokemon Presents at 6 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow morning to see whatever they do end up announcing. The timing of where we're at is a little bit weird because there's a lot of things they could do. Generation 10 is the next one.
Yeah.
And their 30-year anniversary is coming up in 2 years. And the new Switch hardware is coming out. I don't think we're getting Gen 10 this year. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's enough stuff where it's like they're going to want to celebrate in a major way, getting everything lined up there. And I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen. But that does mean that there is a lot of room for them to re-release things, new remakes, new whatever it is that like you were talking about. I've said this every single time this Pokemon presents, but I've feel it in my bones. Tomorrow is going to be the day we get Game Boy games on.
Oh, okay.
And maybe not all of them, but maybe all of them, bless. And where
when
I'm
you
at
say
right
Game
now.
Boy, are you including Game Boy Advance
in
there?
We're getting crazy now. What I feel, and I could totally be wrong about this, but what I feel we're going to get tomorrow is Game Boy games, the Game Boy Advance games, and I think it'll be part of Nintendo Switch Online expansion pass. Because everyone's like, Pokemon Company is going to want to make the money. They're going to want extra stuff. They're not. Why would they just release these things? They could be making money. Look at what Nintendo's been doing with Nintendo Switch Online. Like, they have a place that gives that more premium level where money is involved, a financial transaction is involved. So I think that's how they're going to handle
Bless it. Bless imagine this.
Yeah.
Imagine Pokemon Fire Red, that beautiful GBA art style on a fucking OLED screen.
I mean, bro. I'm there.
Ooh.
I'm there for
Ooh.
It. Like, I think that's fire. I think my only thing is, wouldn't you just spread those out? Like, wouldn't you do, like, especially if you wanted to, if you're going, hey, this is the final year, if you wanted to go big as Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
This is the, I know, well, they wouldn't say this, right? But, like, with the idea of it, all right, final year of the Switch, hey, we want to make this year, like, a big year for Pokemon, and we want to, like, and also on the financial side, like, you know, get the worth out of this thing. What if it is each month we are putting out a new, different Pokemon game?
I'm with that, though. I'm not saying they're all coming out
tomorrow. Oh, okay.
But
I think
they're all going to be announced tomorrow.
That,
yeah,
okay, that
I'm with
I buy.
You in a potential like rollout plan,
like every
whatever.
Couple months. Like here's Gen 1, here's Gen 2, here's Gen 3.
I with it though, I think that there's going to be similar to what they did when they released the games on the 3DS. There's going to be a way to transfer the Pokemon to Pokemon Home to Scarlet and Violet and going forward. So that to me is I
see
think the
it, that is yeah that is expansion pass content right
yes.
there. Like, for a second I was like, well. And correct me, right? GBA and Game Boy are core Nintendo Switch Online. You don't need expansion pass for those already? Because I know there are some consoles that you do need.
Isn't GBA and Nintendo 64 the extra one?
Because there's also Sega Genesis on there.
Genesis, yeah. I think, is an expansion.
Yeah, I think Genesis and... Oh, people are saying GBA is expansion
yeah,
pass.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay, so those are already there. If you're going to go into Pokemon Blue and Pokemon Gold and stuff and go, hey, we're giving you these games, but also, yeah, like there's... Pokemon Home functionality stuff there, then I think you do go, also that gives us a chance to just put this on the expansion pass to get the money out of it.
Yeah, so I imagine we're going to get that. I know that this is hopeful, but it's also, how silly is it that this is hopeful? Like, this should just happen. So
when you say that Game Boy is going to be backwards and bad, well, not bad, it's going to be on Nintendo Switch Online, that should come with the given that you're getting Pokemon.
Exactly.
And Pokemon is the Game Boy.
And we got it on the 3DS Virtual Console, which to me says we're going to get it here. If we didn't there, I'd be like, I don't know. Yeah. Pokemon's weird. But no, I'm like, they've done this before. They're going to do it again.
So Barrett has up here the expansion pass, or what's on the expansion pass. Can you scroll up one more? Yeah, so on regular Switch Online, you got NES, you got... I can't. My eyes suck. You get those. Expansion pass, you have N64, GBA, Sega Genesis, and then the DLC for other big games.
Yeah. And so then I think that we'll probably get this, but there's also a chance we don't. Like, there's been other years that I'm like, for sure we're going to get it. Not for sure, but it's likely we're going to get it, and then we don't. But I do think at some point we're going to get these games on the Switch, and we're running out of time. So yeah. I think this is the year. In terms of new games, they do have... I think we're going to get... updates tomorrow for like Pokemon Unite and Pokemon, maybe Pokemon Go. We don't know anything really about the next season that starts in a couple weeks or next week.
Is Unite, is that the MOBA?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll get all that.
What about
stuff.
That Pokemon Cafe game with the cool art?
We'll probably get an update there. Like, we'll get all of those little things. But I do think we get an announcement for a big game on Switch this year.
Yeah.
Big's relative.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the Let's Go dream, quote unquote, is over. Like, I don't see that them going back to that style because those games just didn't sell nearly as well as the rest of the Pokemon games.
How'd they do compared to Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl?
Barrett, if you could look it up.
I know that's a hard thing to compare.
But, I mean, no, it shouldn't be. Like, I feel like that should be the one-to-one. I think Brilliant Diamond outpaced it.
Okay.
And we're talking Kanto. Like, we're talking Gen 1. We're talking the most.
Because if you're telling me, like, what I... Would I want a Let's Go or a Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl type thing? I'm like, give me Let's Go all day, every day.
I mean, I'm with you for sure, but and I think most people would think that too. But Let's Go was not well received by
it was the casual. Public. It was like a very, it was like an even more casual version than the original.
Or to where are we at here?
So Let's Go, okay. Pikachu and Eevee is what we're comparing, right?
Yeah.
So that was at 15.07 million according to this graph, which. I don't know when this was last updated, and then Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl was 14.65.
And that's so, with less time on the market for
way,
Brilliant
way,
Diamond.
Way less time. Yeah. So, okay, whatever. They're similar. Anyways, I feel like the Let's Go push, like that being with that was around when they were really trying to get Go back, you know. I don't see them doing that again. So I'd love it. I would love personally a Let's Go Johto. I want that more than ever right now with how into Pokemon Go I am and how Johto is my favorite. So that'd be awesome. I just don't see him doing it. Then there's Black and White remakes, which are inevitable. They're going to come at some point. And unfortunately, if they come, they're going to be in the Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl style. And I don't want
that. Don't say
that, Tim! I don't want that.
Don't say it!
Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. Were those, because I know for in the Kind of Funny review, right? Like that was the one where like in the thumbnail it was like boring mark, I think. It might not even had a question mark. Yeah. It might have just been like boring. Is that because of the generation?
Nope.
You think like
People love Gen 4. And like
I didn't know that.
And look, it's at this point you could say people love every gen because every gen is somebody's and like that's it. But there was a lot of things about Gen 4 that were really, really well received. Some pacing issues, but overall people did like it. It was these games were not well received. Nobody like this was not a win for any of the different major audiences that Pokemon has. Like it was kind of unanimously understood, like, nah, this ain't it, you know, especially when a lot of the other remakes were like you look at Heart Gold and Soul Silver, you know what I mean?
Of course.
Even Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, like there was some things people didn't love about that, but overall they were well received. So then there's Legends. I think the most shocking thing tomorrow would be if we get a Legends, but that would be really cool and exciting. It's just, I think it's the least likely to be announced.
But then what's likely? Like, I feel like we're like, you know, checking off all these things of like, oh, this is not going to happen. This is not going to, then, you know, what is the Pokemon thing? Because I think we're all in agreement that it feels like there's going to be a Pokemon thing this year.
Yeah.
At least it feels like there should be.
I mean,
is it possible that there's just not?
I don't think there is, but I would love that.
Oh, yeah, if we don't get any Pokemon
this year, because there's not anything like major so far coming out, unless Metroid Prime happens. But yeah,
there's the opportunity for spinoffs, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, that doesn't count.
Pokemon
like, 2. They want a core Pokemon game. I think we're going to get one. I think worst case scenario, like absolute worst case scenario for me, would be Pokemon and Scarlet and Violet Ultimate Cut, whatever, coming out later this year. Because if you're going to do that, just wait for the Switch 2.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The goal for that should be the game's run.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see, but I feel like all the rumors and leaks have pointed to it's either Unova or Johto, which is Gen 2 or Gen 5, maybe a mix of the two in some way. I'm not so sure.
So we're moving ourselves from the Pokemon of it, right? Because like we're talking about what the rest of this fall looks like or what the rest of this year looks like. And I think, in my opinion, if I'm Nintendo and I am, you know, full steam ahead on Switch 2, and it just happens that, all right, our original plans were 2024, but it's looking like we need to get this thing out in 2025 to make sure it's the launch we want it to be. If I'm Nintendo, I'm going, cool, charge it. Like, that's it. You know, like, maybe do like a Zelda remaster, because those have been the things we've talked about forever of like the Wind Waker and Twilight Princess and stuff.
I think we get those this year for sure.
Yeah, I think do those and then be like, all right, cool, that's it for the year. We've had worse years. Mm-hmm. Like I know 2020 was a good year because of Animal Crossing, but that year, if outside of Animal Crossing, if you weren't an Animal Crossing person, that year kind of sucked. Yep. Like, not even kind of, that year sucked, right? It was Paper Mario, Origami King, and that was about it. For this year, you got Princess Peach, you got Paper Mario, you'll have Zelda remasters you imagined. Like, if Metroid Prime 4 is there,
then it's a banger.
Yeah,
right?
if it's not there, then it's like, all right, cool, whatever. We have to Switch 2 around the corner anyway.
Now that we are pretty locked in, March 2025 for Switch 2. Bless, what's your prediction for Metroid Prime this year?
Percentage?
Yeah.
This is a tough one because I have it as my counterpick on my Fantasy Critic. So I want to be like, oh yeah, there's no chance it's coming this year. But I think there is a chance. I'm going to say 30%. I feel 30%, it's been a while that this thing has been in development. I think, like, there's the argument of, just hold it for Switch 2 at this point. But I think because it was already announced so long ago for Switch, Nintendo is pretty good about honoring those kind of things. And, like, I'm sure in the way that it's been developed, right? They've probably been developing it with Switch 1 in mind. So I think it comes out. And if it's going to come out, you might as well just put it out this year. So I think there's a chance there. But I also think games are ready when they're ready. And is Metroid Prime 4 really actually ready?
I think I'm the flip of you.
Yeah.
Where I think it's 70%.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's mainly for a lot of what you're saying there. But I just think with where we're at in the life cycle, with March being so far away, that would give them the most time to just, let's go all in on Metroid. And I feel like that gives Metroid the best chance possible to actually succeed. Here is a system that has a lived-in life cycle of so many people having the system. Give them one last big hurrah to jump into with a franchise that has proven it can work on the system with Metroid Dread, and let's wow them for that one last like big hurrah. Thing. In the same way that we saw Breath of the Wild kind of transform what Zelda was at launch, I feel like this could be a major opportunity for Metroid just because timing worked out for it.
Yeah, and Metroid like just famously isn't a system seller, so it's like, it was one of those weird things when we were thinking that the Switch 2 was coming out this year. It's like, well, what do they do with Metroid, you know? It doesn't have the same, like, selling power as, like, I mean, technically Zelda didn't have that at the time with Breath of the Wild. But, like, I don't personally see that.
See,
Metroid
I think
Prime 4 having that kind of same kind of moment. Maybe, like, quality-wise and, like, the people who were into video games and stuff, but...
Yeah. I think that, I mean, this gets us into the conversation of what is the actual Switch 2 launch year gonna look like, right? Because I think there you have the balance of, let's say Metroid Prime 4 is coming out like a cross-gen thing for Switch 2. I think as Nintendo, you want to have like, you want to feed the entire audience, right? And I think you want to have your casual games, you want to have the games that are going to speak to everybody, right? Something like a Mario Kart 9 or whatever the next Mario Kart is, something like a new big Mario game. But then I think you want a hardcore title there too. And I think Metroid, even though we look at Metroid as like, oh, that's not a system seller, oh, that's gonna, I think that's a similar way in which we talked about Zelda. Obviously, Zelda's always been bigger than Metroid, but I think Metroid could be the balance in that of, hey, we have a Mario here, but we also have a Metroid for you gamers.
Like that's just too much. Like Nintendo, this is literally why I said last week, they can't spread their load.
Oh, you're right. Like,
no, it's like you can't put Mario and Metroid out in the same day. Like, they, like that's like we need it to have separation. We need them to.
But
have
I'm talking about launch year.
Okay,
like, I
don't cool. Think then. Oh, absolutely. And something I've been thinking about a lot in the last couple of weeks is we've been talking about this because this news story just keeps evolving. But we're talking about Animal Crossing and Pokemon and just the word system seller. And I've been seeing a lot of people be like, Tim keeps saying that Animal Crossing is not a system seller. That's insane. My point is that strategically, Animal Crossing is a system seller and it's a seller at this point. But you don't put that out as a launch title. You don't put Pokemon out as a launch title. These are games that are surefire hits with people. You put them out when you have as many people that already have the thing as possible. And then you get all the people that have it and you sell systems.
Yeah.
It is a system seller phase 2, phase 3, whatever that is. I think that a Switch launch, it needs Mario. Mario is the answer. It's a 3D Mario that serves the hardcore and the soft core, baby.
Yeah.
It's everything in between. And then you get to build from that. I think Mario Kart can also work there. But then that's a beautiful year. Metroid's not that answer at all, you know?
I want to bring in quite a few things here. One, I want to go over to Twitter because Daniel Ahmad, the homie, over on Twitter, aka at ChugeX.
Mm-hmm.
At ChugeX, right? Daniel works for Nikkei, which is the company that, you know, is giving us this report. And he has his own speculation that I think is very interesting. He tweeted out, Nintendo generates around 80% of its game software revenue from first-party games. You can flip that for Sony or Microsoft. While there are, of course, multiple factors behind the success of a new console, first-party software is a major one for Nintendo, and the year one release slate needs to be compelling. Breath of the Wild being a highly anticipated title paid off for Switch. There are more units of Zelda sold for Switch than actual sales of Switch hardware during the launch period. He then follows that up in saying, anyway, my conspiracy theory for 2025 being the release year, other than the logical reasons of giving devs more time to finish games, plus building up hardware stockpile, is that they want time with a Nintendo IP game, or sorry, they want to time it with a Nintendo IP game release that also has a movie/TV show tie-in, which I think is an interesting wrinkle, right? Talking about how we're talking about 2024 Nintendo, who has now seen success on the big screen. Obviously, Nintendo, they're still Nintendo, right? Like, I don't think Nintendo's the kind of company to go, oh, let's move and shift the Switch for movies, right? Like, I don't think that's the way Nintendo thinks. But I think they are the type of company to go, hey, let's line up things perfectly. Like, where are we at in terms of our positioning with the strength of the Mario IP, the strength of like what, like Zelda's working on a movie, on a TV show, movie. Zelda's working on a live action movie right now. Yeah, with Sony Pictures. Still a weird thing. How do we position ourselves up for success with all things considered, right? And if like, I mean, this kind of goes back to the last time we had this conversation around like, is there an Ocarina remake? Yeah. You know, is that a thing that can be slated around that time? Like, say a Zelda movie comes in 2026.
Yeah.
Can you have an Ocarina of Time remake end of 2025?
Oh, yeah.
To like end out that year.
I'm telling y'all, it's happening. Ocarina remake 2026.
2026
is my prediction. Okay. Yeah. I when it comes to the TV and movies and all that stuff, I don't think it's quite as literal as we might be making it out to be. Like, I don't think it's like, oh, the movie's coming, so the game's going to be coming around. I just think we're in this era now of just like, and this sounds silly to say, but I stand by it. Like, there's going to be a Zelda movie. There's going to be a Zelda game. There would have been a Zelda game otherwise, but now there's definitely going to be a Zelda game. And I feel like the type of Zelda game might be different. Like, the level of importance that they put on it. And that's why I think an Ocarina of Time remake, it's time.
Well, I think that's the thing that's great about the way Nintendo operates. Because, you know, like, and online, right? Like, over the years, you'll see people talk about, like, oh, Nintendo only makes the same games. Nintendo, like, keeps doing the same thing, yada, yada. And, like, really, they don't. They just use the same IP. And that they get so much success out of that because of the recognizability, because of the connection people build. Like, you know, I love Mario, so I'm going to get Mario Kart. I'm going to get Mario Party, all that stuff. You're right in terms of there's going to be a Zelda game. I don't even think it's, like, a for sure, like, now there is for sure going to be a Zelda. I think it's more so even, like, no matter what, every year you're going to get a Mario. Like, whether it's 2D Mario, whether it's 3D Mario, whether it's Mario Party, whether it's a Mario Sports game, there's going to be at least a Mario, if not multiple Marios, right? This year we're getting Paper Mario, Thousand Year Door, and Princess Peach.
Yeah, like, I don't count those as Mario, though.
Yeah, but, like, Mario IP being active. Like, you're talking about core major Mario, right?
Yes,
when you're talking, and, like,
exactly.
Same with Zelda.
Yeah.
I think even there, right, like, core major Mario, that's going to happen at least every 2 years, if not more than that, right? Like, you're going to get that consistently. I think Zelda...
I mean, I don't know that that's true.
I mean, if you go back, I'm counting 2D, I'm counting 3D, I'm counting the 3D 2D.
I mean, if you do that, like, they're not that frequent.
I feel like they are.
They're not.
In the last 7 years of the Switch, in terms of, like, big Mario games, I think, what, we've gotten...
Odyssey.
We've gotten 3D World? Yeah. 3D World plus Bowser's Fury. We've gotten the new Super Mario Brothers, like, remasters or whatever that came out.
Yeah, okay, so... I'm counting those. I guess the Switch generation is the one exception, but that is because of the amount of just straight up ports. Uh-huh. Because, like, when you just look at the new games, and being even generous here, it's Wonder, Odyssey, and Bowser's Fury. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not that much, man. For
I am pulling in. But I'm also like, I feel like Mario Kart counts in that conversation.
No,
too.
It doesn't.
Oh, for
it's
sure,
Mario Kart.
But Mario Kart sells more than, like, mainline Mario.
But yeah, that's its own franchise.
But I also think that, like, it counts the same in terms of, like, what a movie does. Hey, like, a Mario movie is coming out. Like, Mario Kart is a major feature in that movie because Mario Kart, at this point, is, like, almost the more well-known Mario thing over even the Mario platformers. Like, I think that counts in terms of what we're talking about.
I really don't like the argument of, like, well, Mario's in the title, so it's a Mario thing. It's like, well, then cool. Then yes, then Nintendo does put out a lot of Mario.
But I think even if we separate smaller Mario things from bigger Mario things, I still think that, like, we're getting a big Mario thing, what, every, maybe, like, 1.5 times every 2 years, right? Like, I feel like there's a very consistent basis that we're getting bigger Mario.
Sure, I mean, yeah, the more things you add to that, then absolutely. Yeah. Yes. I'm like, I look at it this way. Would Nintendo not put out the two products too close together because they're going to compete, or do they not care because they're different? And they would put out a 3D Mario and a Mario Kart within months of each other and not give a shit because they're different.
But
they wouldn't put out
a, I guess, like, so. I think the argument we're making is different, though, because the argument I'm making is that, say, a Mario movie is coming out in 2026, and, like, Nintendo's thinking, how do we capitalize on this? Like, I capitalize on this off of, like, a game that we're putting out. I think you get the same benefit from putting out a Mario Kart than you do, like, a 3D or 2D Mario, just based off of the success of, like, what that does for your synergy of your franchise.
Sure.
And so I think on top of that, like, I think Zelda, you can make the same thing of, like, I look at Link's Awakening remake as an example of, hey, even if it's not, like, a Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Breath of the Wild, like, level thing, even if you have, like, a Link's Awakening coming out the same year as the Zelda movie, like, you're still going to see that benefit of people showing up and buying it.
See, I don't think so. Like, that's where I think we disagree on this, where I think that, like, in order to see the synergy of the movie stuff, because that to me is just, like, that was just what's going to happen. They happen to be putting out a movie, and, like, will they get a bump? Sure, but that's just because, like, marketing and name recognition. I think that there's going to be a shift in them, like... It's not just going to be Link's Awakening. It's going to be Ocarina of Time. It's going to be, let's give the people what they want. Let's blow this out and give them a big thing, because they now are treating Zelda like a big thing because they can. Because Breath of the Wild success, and you got to imagine the movie success, and then it's like, all right, cool. Instead of smaller titles, even like something like Link's Awakening, which I freaking love.
Yeah.
It's not the same,
though. Yeah, I guess Zelda and Mario are too different. Because, like, I feel like Mario has so many major, like Paper Mario and Thousand Year Door, I'm looking at as like a major Mario release. I understand.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's a big Mario RPG that people fucking love. Now, it's not going to sell as much as
exactly.
like 2D and 3D, but like 2D and 3D don't sell as much as Mario Kart. Like Mario's just such a varied franchise in terms of like how many big things you have in it.
That's why.
But I think Paper Mario Thousand Year Door is gonna like sell a lot of copies on Switch too, right? Like I'm looking at Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. Wait, actually, how much does a 2D Mario sell?
2D Mario?
Yeah, like what?
Hella.
15 million?
More
than 15 million? Yeah. Like what, 20 million?
Upwards of 30 million. Like
no well, way.
Yes.
Okay, well, if that's the case, I'm for Paper Mario Thousand Year Door, I'm gonna predict like 8 million.
And that's
big,
amazing, yeah. Absolutely. But like for Nintendo, I don't know about that. But like,
gotcha, Barry. You have are these franchise sales or are these like
individual game sales?
Okay, so we're looking at where's New Super Mario Bros. So New Super Mario Bros. 3. Okay, 30 million. Mario Odyssey 27 million. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Mario Odyssey though, 27 million, man. Again,
Super like, Mario. Look, Super Mario Party 20 million. Super Mario Party is a major Mario release right there.
Yeah.
20 million.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's all the same, man.
It's not.
It has Mario in the title. Like, people are going to buy it. People are going to watch the movie, go, oh, man, I want to have a party with my friends. Let's get Mario Party in there. I want to have a party with the Super Chats. Of course, you can write in to the Kind of Funny Super Chats. I was going to say a link. I guess what? Click the Super Chat button on YouTube and then give us your Super Chats. A lot of y'all are writing in. Let's start off with... Oh, man, there's a lot of good ones in here. Optimus Prime says, Tim, if you haven't, I need you to look up Pokemon Unbound for GBA on Steam Deck or other devices that you can play GBA games. I don't know what Pokemon Unbound is, but it sounds really cool.
I'm pretty sure it's like the big open world game done in the style of Fire Red. It's pretty cool. It's like a fan thing, but it's really sick.
Tyler Butcher says, Tim and Bless, what if the new Switch was called the Super Nintendo Switch? The marketing is right there, the SNS. Any other names other than Switch 2? I stand by this. I think the Wii U killed any chance of like
getting cute.
Yeah, I think we're gonna get the most clear name possible. It'll either have a different name than Switch or it'll be the Switch 2. I'm leaning towards Switch 2.
It's Switch 2, baby.
Yeah,
Super Switch is cute and I love it. Super Nintendo is, looking back at Nintendo consoles, my favorites are either the Super Nintendo or the Switch. And as time goes on, it's the Switch. There's not even a question. So yeah, Super Switch, I'd love that, but no, it's the Switch 2.
DJ Kento says, what does a remake of Ocarina of Time look like to you? Same game but pretty, or totally new game with the same story? Also, have you read the manga? There's a manga?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it came with Nintendo Power back in the day. I have not read that. I don't know, but I think they have to go all out. I think it needs to be like a Final Fantasy VII type thing of like not changing the story, not all, whatever, just in terms of production value and in terms of them treating it like this matters as much as anything we've ever done, levels of stuff. And I think they can, I don't think they need to do too much. Ocarina of Time is a great.
Yeah, it's fucking a solid video game.
Yeah.
I'm of two minds because part of me likes the Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom style game more than traditional 3D Zelda. Like, I think it's just a better way to design puzzles, give people a lot more freedom, let people like create their own solutions if they can. Like, I think there's something so cool about that, and it'd be really cool to see Ocarina of Time reimagined as a Breath of the Wild style game. That said, I don't think, at least for a very long time, we're gonna see a new Zelda take the classic 3D Zelda, it's wild to call 3D Zelda classic, but yeah, classic 3D Zelda style of, you know, dungeons. And like puzzles and all that stuff. So I think because of that, if you do a Ocarina of Time remake and make it Ocarina of Time, but prettier, but keep that same Ocarina of Time, you know, layout, style, dungeon design, all that stuff, make it a bit more stricter in how you're solving the puzzles and stuff. I think that lets you have a third route, right? Or like, I guess another route in terms of how you make Zelda. And like, I think you get to have your cake and eat it too, right? And like make the next big new Zelda Breath of the Wild style, but then if you want to go back to classic 3D Zelda, just remake older games, like remake Wind Waker or whatever it is.
Yeah. Voice acting. It'll be in it.
Is Link going to talk?
I don't think so. But I mean, honestly, if he was going to, like, that's where you would do it.
In Ocarina?
Yeah. In a remake. especially if they're trying to put it out around the movie.
I think people would be sick. Like, you, the first time we watched the trailer and like Link starts talking, like people are gonna be like fucking throwing up on the side. like, oh god, why? Like, people won't be able to take it.
Yeah, all these babies who have complained about Link not talking for decades are just gonna be.
Yeah, people will lose their minds.
They're gonna fucking regret it.
All right? They should be fucking crying, on the ground crying, fetal position.
I would love he opens like, his mouth voice as Tom Holland's voice. Of time though, that'd be sick as hell.
I'm with you. I think it'd be cool to have a voice acted. I think Link would, should still be.
Yeah, he'll still.
Link doesn't need. I'm just like Breath of the Wild, and
yeah, like it's like major characters and major scenes are voice acted by like stuff. But then when you go into Kakariko and talk to like one of the dudes building stuff and running around, he still just goes like, "Oh," like kind of that shit.
So. Yeah.
Let's move on to story number two. But before we do, I want to tell you about the Kinda Funny membership that you can get on patreon.com/kindafunny or youtube.com/kindafunnygames. The Kinda Funny membership allows you to get shows ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors. And we're back with story number two. But before we get there, Tim, one, I want to talk to you about, I really like hosting the show with you. Mm-hmm. I feel like we get into like good conversation.
Oh yeah.
Good. We have good debates sometimes. We have good back and forth. One of the ones we had recently was if GTA 6 and the Switch 2 come out at the exact same time. Like, which one gets more mind share? Yeah. After sleeping on it and thinking about it, I've come around. I think GTA 6 gets more mind share.
I love that. That's character growth.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I had to like sleep on it and be like, I guess, GTA 6 is more exciting. But the question I want to flip on you, Tim,
I see where you're going here.
Yeah, is which one are you are you showing up to first? Like, you only have time to check out one between Switch 2 and the launch slate. I don't even put in like your choice of a new Mario or a new Zelda. Let's say Zelda Ocarina Remake is on there. Your choice between that or GTA 6, which one are you picking up first week?
Well, again, just real quick, I want to say, I don't think Ocarina as a launch title is a good idea.
No?
I think that's a down the line. I think that's a year two.
Okay.
Or end of year one, but year two.
Now let's call it a 3D Mario.
3D Mario? I mean, it's 3D Mario for me.
Or like, GTA 6.
Yeah, man. Like, oh, man. I love Nintendo, dude. Like, that's my stuff. So it's like, especially a 3D Mario after we haven't gotten something from that team in so long, I think it's going to be absolutely incredible. On new Switch, Nintendo hardware, that's where I'm going to be. Grand Theft Auto 6, I'm extremely excited about, but I'm fine to wait with it.
You know, I think there's nothing that could make me pick the Switch 2 and like the launch lineup over GTA 6, except for like if there was somehow a brand new Zelda, like Breath of the Wild style thing.
Really?
Yeah. If there was like a brand new Zelda, like not a remake, it would have to be a brand new, we're doing something never before seen, like, or doing like a new Hyrule or whatever, but it's going to be another Breath of the Wild style thing. I think I'll choose that over GTA 6 on week one.
What if?
What up?
Super Mario 64 2.
Okay, I'll choose that over. I'll choose that over GTA. You found the one loophole.
I know.
If we launched with Hideo Kojima's next Metal Gear Solid on the Nintendo Switch system, I'll pick that too.
So, but let's talk about this. I know we're already going. Oh, wow. We went really long.
Yeah, we're super long.
Yeah, I just want to say this real quick.
Uh-huh.
That it is looking more likely than ever right now. March 2025.
Yeah.
Switch 2. Mm-hmm. March 2025. Grand Theft Auto 6. No. They're going to want the game out before the fiscal year. That's what they're saying.
For GTA?
Yeah.
There's no way. I also think, I've also come around to your point of like neither of them are moving. I think even if it's like the same week,
I don't think that they would move if they were in the same place. I don't think the GTA is going to hit that. But I think March is the plan.
I hope they don't.
Because how they talked about it with the fiscal stuff.
You're right. They did talk about that with the fiscal stuff, didn't they? I hope not. I really hope not. That's going to be a hell of a March. And I don't have that energy with me to make that much content. Because, like, it's not going to be like, we got to pick and choose either Zelda or either Nintendo or G. We're going to make both the content.
We're doing it
for
all.
Both the things.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sweating thinking about it. It's not going to be a fun time. Story number two. Until Dawn developer Supermassive Games plans to lay off around 90 workers. This comes from Taylor Lyles at IGN. Supermassive Games, the studio best known for making choice-filled horror games that are borderline interactive movies, announced that it is planning to lay off employees as job losses continue to devastate the gaming industry. In a statement posted on Twitter/X, the developer acknowledged the challenges the gaming industry currently faces with mass layoffs and that it was not immune to this. It states that it was undertaking a reorganization of its studio and planned to enter into a period of consultation, which would affect some of its employees. Although Supermassive did not disclose how many employees are affected, Bloomberg reporter Jason Schreier wrote before the announcement that the British developer planned to lay off around 90 workers. Quote, "This is not a decision that's been taken lightly," Supermassive said, "with many efforts made to avoid this outcome," end quote. Another one.
Another one, man. And, you know, 90 people, that's a lot. And it's a major percentage of Supermassive. Like, this obviously sucks, and it sucks that these things continue to happen. It seems like there is no end in sight. And even just this weekend, I was talking to a couple people that were telling me, like, just rumblings of more coming that I'm like, really?
Yeah.
In some of those places? Didn't expect that. So, yeah, this is very, very, very unfortunate, and just, my God, I want this to end.
Yeah. It sucks that it seems nobody's immune, right? Like, we've talked about, like, plenty of studios and plenty of places where it's like, you know, oh, man, like, places that we view as, oh, they're successful, right? Like, certainly we're not going to see it from them, and then, you know, those places get hit. And then, obviously, there's the ones, like the ones under Embracer Group that is made from bad leadership decisions and shit like that. It all sucks across the board. And, yeah, like, the second half of this IGN article is kind of talking about, like, the history of Supermassive, and you look, and it's like, man, Supermassive is, like, such a cool studio for how different they are. You know, like, opened up in 2008, 2015, they released Until Dawn, right? And then, like, that kind of started up who we know is Supermassive. They went on to make, like, the Dark Picture stuff along with the Quarry. They've also worked on other things, right? Like, they had the, like, PSVR rail on rails, like, versions of Blood. Until
that's
Dawn.
What it's called.
No. Like Rush of Blood. Rush of Blood.
Yeah.
Rondo, that's the Castlevania, right? They had that. They had, like, I think they're making Little Nightmares 3. Yeah, they're working on Little Nightmares 3 currently, and the casting of Frank Stone. They say that latter one is a narrative game set in Behavior Interactive's Dead by Daylight universe. And then the IGN article, yeah, goes on to talk about, like, we've had over 6,000 jobs impacted this year alone. And so it's a scary time. Hopefully we see the end of this big wave of layoffs soon, but obviously, like, there's no control over it right now. Like, it's just fucking happening. So good luck to everybody out there. Story number three. Miyazaki says there's a high possibility he delegates directing for future Souls games. This is Jordan Midler at VGC. Elden Ring and Dark Souls director Hidetaka Miyazaki has said that there's a high possibility that he will delegate the role of director on future Souls games. Speaking to IGN, Miyazaki said that there is a high possibility that we would delegate the responsibility of director to those other Souls-ish games going forward, end quote. He continued, quote, I think it's very likely that we'll see new directors going forward. And I think if we do that, I'd like to step away from that supervisory role and give them full direction and full control over those projects. I think really this is the best way and the easiest way for them to flourish within that environment and with those new projects, end quote. So far, the only original Souls project that Miyazaki hasn't directed is Dark Souls 2. While Dark Souls 2 was met with mixed reactions from players, Miyazaki looks back on it fondly, quote, in regards to Dark Souls 2, I actually personally think this is a really great project for us, and I think without it, we wouldn't have had a lot of the connections and a lot of the ideas that went forward and carried the rest of the series, end quote.
Very interesting. Obviously, at some point, this has to happen. You can only do so much. And I do think that, you know, the first reaction would be like, oh, this sucks, because what makes these things special to so many people? Clearly, when you look at the reception to a lot of these games, Dark Souls 2 is the one that people are like, eh, I don't know about that one. Mm-hmm. You know, so that even more so crafts the narrative of Miyazaki is the most important factor to what makes these games special. But then you look at how many of these have happened now, how many people have worked on, like, the games, and how big the teams have been. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is good news overall, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting because this weekend I watched the Hideo Kojima documentary on, it's supposed to be on Disney Plus, but it wasn't there. I had to watch it on Hulu. I don't know what's going on with that, but watch it on Hulu. Did you check it out?
No, not yet.
So it's an hour long, and it's fun. It's not what I expected, but I should have expected exactly what this is, where it's just an hour of Kojima praise, mm-hmm. which I'm here for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was interesting, like, that being backed up with the conversations we've been
it's
having.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
What is? Oh, man. I mean, I guess they beat Greg.
Catch up, Greg. Catch up.
Is the Greg match over? How'd it go?
It went. The real winners were the people. The audience. The
crowd. There you go.
Crowd.
Oh, yeah. Of course. The people. We love to see it. Shout out to the crowd.
So we're not going to say what happened, mm-hmm. but what we are going to say is that his jacket's looking pretty nice.
Thank you. Yeah, this is my Tekken 8 jacket.
Tekken 8. That's interesting. Here.
It's the new hotness right now.
So you've been playing?
Have I been playing Tekken?
Really?
I am highly ranked in Tekken currently.
Highly ranked?
I am 10 Ryu rank. In Tekken right now.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's cute. So when you get done here, we're going to need you in there for some Tekken.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if you want that smoke. I don't know if you want that.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Whoa! And you're about to get burnt!
All right, see me out there. Oh man. Yeah, see me out there.
Yeah, put that jacket on the line.
Give me 3 minutes. I'll wrap up the show. I'll be
right
there.
3 minutes, there you go.
Put that jacket on the line.
Listen, we got more stories here, but I'm down with some Tekken.
Greg, how you feeling? I'm feeling all right.
Greg looks distraught.
You're right.
I think Greg had not a great time.
How are those cheeks, Greg?
Monday. All right, cool. We'll check that out Monday. Tim, let's get this wrapped up so I can play some Tekken, because I got to say, I got some things to do. But yeah, I did want to say good on Miyazaki for, like, you know, I think being able to curate what the future looks like in terms of From Software, because I don't want to see this is one of the things I think Greg talked about. I forget if it was on a show or off a show, but talking about Hideo Kojima, and like, when Kojima is done with all this, is there a next Kojima? Is there somebody that he's fostering up to take that place? I don't know. I don't think so.
Based on the documentary, doesn't seem like it.
Yeah. And I think that's a bummer, right? Like, I think if you're somebody who is making waves in this industry, if you're somebody that's, you know, if you're somebody that has a voice and also like has a lot of power and influence, I think it is on you to go, all right, who is the next person I can bring up to continue my work here, or be able to foster their own stuff with the lessons that I teach them? And I hope Miyazaki is doing that with people at From Software. And based on like being able to give somebody else Dark Souls 2 to direct, there's a trust there that he has with somebody else to work on a franchise that he's been able to foster. And so I think that's a good thing. I think that's actually very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Story number four, our final news story before we get to Wii News. Final Fantasy music legend Nobuo Uematsu doesn't think he'll ever compose a whole game again. This is Chris Scullion at Video Games Chronicle. Legendary video game composer Nobuo Uematsu has said he doesn't think he'll be able to compose an entire game soundtrack again. Uematsu is most famous for composing the soundtracks for the first 9 Final Fantasy games and working on numerous subsequent entries. Although Final Fantasy VII Remake and Rebirth contain soundtracks created by different composers, Uematsu still composed the main theme for both games. Now in a new interview with German publication Zeit Online, ahead of a performance of his new orchestral show, Marignan, Heart of Ice, Uematsu said he thinks his days of composing full video game soundtracks are over. Asked if he ever felt that one day nostalgia could take over and convince him to write an entire soundtrack for a game again, as opposed to just the main theme, Uematsu replied that he didn't see it happening. Quote, as far as Final Fantasy is concerned, I'm still involved by writing the main themes for the games, but I don't think I'll ever compose music for a whole game again. And I'll end the quote there.
Yeah, man. I mean, I feel like this isn't bad news in any way.
Yeah.
Like, to look back at the library that this man has produced is... it's stunning. It's absolutely beautiful. Like we are coming off such a high of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, specifically from the perspective of music. And so many of those themes were composed by him, including the new theme for the game, which I absolutely fell in love with over time as well. But it's funny for me, starting with Final Fantasy X as my first Final Fantasy, that was the first Final Fantasy that wasn't completely composed by him, mm-hmm. or at least those modern ones. And Hamauzu, I think, was the composer of 10, and I love the soundtrack of 10. But then Nobuo Uematsu did do the two main themes of 10, Tuzanerkind and Suteika Dani, which are beautiful and like just like the most like perfect songs maybe ever written, besides just Get Lucky by Daft Punk. So
of course, and Happy by Pharrell. Don't forget Happy by Pharrell. What a year that was. Incredible year. 2013, I think that was.
Oh my God. But I think that this works. You know, this makes sense on two fronts. One, the story we just read about Miyazaki, right? Like having a protege, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've now been able to see with Final Fantasy, and at this point, it's not even new news. We are decades into this. To have Soken, right, for Final Fantasy 14, do the soundtrack to 16, mm-hmm. and have it be so,
banger.
So good, you know? That, I think, shows that, like, yeah, there's so much talent out there that is being supported. And to have a Distant Worlds, the concert series that Final Fantasy puts on, to have music that used to just be, it's Nobuo Uematsu or bust. Like, it has to be that. To over the years see it be like, no. Like, there's so many other composers in there, and it all sounds like it works. It all makes sense and feels like this is what Final Fantasy should sound like. Other video games as well, obviously. I think this is good news. I the day that he officially retires and isn't making themes at all is going to be incredibly sad.
I hope that day never comes.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
But this makes me happy because this... feels tenable. This feels like it is going to result in a lot of, it's going to feel like very special moments. Each track is going to have that much more weight to it.
Yeah. I have this theory, like, usually this applies to rappers, of like rappers never retire. I feel like creatives in general, especially people who make music, I think after, like, if Nobuo Uematsu doesn't make, like, a full soundtrack for, like, 5 years, I think there's going to come a time where he's like, get me back in the game for one more. Like, yeah. I think he'll have those moments where he's like, actually, I want to do this, like, this special project and, like, you know, compose everything here. I think we'll get those. But, Tim, if that happened, it'd be big news. If I wanted something smaller, say the tiniest news I needed to know about, where would I go?
You'd go to our last story, the Wii News Channel, where we cover all the small news items that you need to know about.
Story number 5. It's time for Wii News. Honkai Impact 3rd Part 2 officially launches on February 29th. That's a confusing one. Honkai Impact 3rd Part 2. Tekken 8 hits 2 million sales in its first month.
Yes.
Awesome. You're going to need a -2 from that, because as soon as I beat fucking Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston, they're going to have to uninstall the game, get some refunds. So get ready for that, Bandai Namco. Open world fishing RPG Sea Fantasy launches in 2025 on consoles and PC. I saw, like, just the title art for this, and I was like, there's some good vibes here. I don't know what the fuck this game is, but it's giving me good vibes just by seeing the key art. And then Square Enix reveals Foam Stars Season 2. Groovy Disco will begin on March 8th from 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And Groovy Disco, I should clarify, is what Season 2 is for Foam Stars. So get ready for more foam-flinging action in the new limited time events and our new Foam Star, Coif Guy.
Great. That's what we've been waiting for.
Coif Guy? Coif?
I don't know. I've never seen this combination of letters put together this way.
That's it for Wii News.
Go out there and avenge Tim.
Listen. Pokemon Super Chats for you, some quick ones. I gotta go play Tekken. Pokemon, this comes from Live to Die. He says, Pokemon Concierge Game, .. Animal Crossing plus Pokemon.
Sounds interesting. Cool. Yeah. I don't think we'll get it tomorrow, but that is an interesting product for sure.
That'd be a fun thing. I worry about, like, Would Nintendo want a Pokemon Animal Crossing and Animal Crossing on the same platform? I feel like that's counterintuitive, but hey, Pokemon Company would probably be like, yeah, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
And then CJ Splitson says, any hype for No Rest for the Wicked showcase? I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
No Rest for the Wicked is the,
is that when Galinda doesn't sleep? No, sorry, that was a bad joke. That was a very bad joke.
Game. It's the
it's a wicked joke. Because Galinda's a character in Wicked.
Yeah, there's Studios who not the Wicked.
I know, Galinda's not Wicked at all.
it's the Ori studio. It's their next game.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. That's where you write in. Let us know what we got wrong, as we got it wrong, so you can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Radic writes in with a really good one, actually. Bless, when you quoted Daniel Ahmad, aka 2KX, you mentioned that he works for Nikkei. In fact, he works for Nikko Partners, not Nikkei Partners, a market research firm. Nikkei is actually a stock market index for the Tokyo Stock Exchange. My apologies to everybody involved. And then Zaxxon Galaxian says the Kojima documentary confusion might come from the fact that Hulu is in Japan, but they do have Disney Plus. Some stuff gets announced for Disney Plus in Japan while it actually comes to Hulu in America. So there you go. I feel like it was announced for Disney Plus here, but
I do too, but whatever. You should check it out, though. It's only an hour, and like, there's enough things that made me like, oh, I'm happy I watched this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll do that. You all do that. We'll come back and have a book club about Hideo Kojima. Until then, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all the shows ad-free. Watch, score them live, and get a daily exclusive show. Until next time, Game Daily.